Okay, so welcome to Live From My Drum Room. This is my last episode of 2023. As you can see, I put a lot of thought into this today. I just, you know, decided that I was going to do this, and here we go. I tried to do this a couple of weeks ago, and it was an epic fail between the stream not working, and I had a really bad cold that I thought I could sort of pull it off, and I couldn't even talk. So believe it or not, this voice right now is an improvement over what it was a couple of weeks ago. So here we are, last episode of 2023. We're going to close out the year. I hope everybody had a great year. All right. So with that in mind, we're going to take a look at some of these little things I have here in my drum room. This is my sort of main drum room that I'm in. And okay. The good news is now you don't have to look at me because I'm going to flip the screen magically. And here we go. All right. So I'm going to take a look on the wall here and I'm going to get close. Bunch of symbols and other bits of memorabilia that I accumulated over the years. Most of the stuff, of course, during my years at Zildjian, where I worked from 1989 to 2013. This symbol, you know, and many of you have seen these before, so it's maybe a little redundant, but this is a symbol that my pal and hero, Charlie Watts, signed for me in the year 2000. He invited me to a rehearsal in Boston, and I brought him a number of symbols to try at the rehearsal, and one of which was this 16-inch A Zildjian Thin Crash, and he tried it, and he said, "I don't like it. You can have it back." And so at that point, I asked him to sign it, and I kept it because it couldn't go back in inventory once it was played. It was no longer a new symbol. So there's that. Lucky for me. This is a very, very, a very special piece of memorabilia, and as is Charlie's, of course. And this symbol was signed by Armin Zildjian, who was my boss and my mentor and my dear friend for many years. And this is a 1940s 20-inch A Zildjian, for all intents and purposes, ride cymbal. But it's very thin. It's very crashable. It's a beautiful-sounding cymbal. This is one of the vault cymbals that Zildjian now is selling as part of their anniversary. And in recent years, they've made these available. This was one of the first ones we discovered back in, I want to say, 1995. And Armin let me have this from the batch and signed it. And it's a wonderful memory of Armin. This is a, what is it? It's a 12-inch splash signed by my pal, Vinny Caliuta. This was, I think we had him signing a bunch of cymbals for a promotion, and he signed this and gave it to me. My dear friend, Adam Nussbaum, this was one of the first cymbals from the 22-inch Renaissance Ride batch that we did, a cymbal that Adam helped design. And Adam came up to the Zildjian factory for the first run to approve them and pulled this off and signed it and gave it to me. That, of course, you've heard about this. This is a gong that's signed by all the members of The Who, except Keith Moon, and technically Simon Phillips, but it has Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, Pete Townsend, Zach Starkey, Rabbit, and later Jody Linscott, who owned this gong. This belonged to her during the Quadrophenia tour, and she cracked it. And so I gave her the replacement and took this cracked one back with me, and a couple of years later had the band sign it for me, thanks to Zach. Drumhead signed by my pal Mike Mangini. This was not long after he had joined Dream Theater. Actually, I'm lying. He joined in 2010. This was 2012 when I left Zildjian. He gave this to me, came in and gave this to me as a special thanks for all our years together, working together. And he was on my show last week. You might have seen my holiday Christmas show. And when I showed him that, he said, "I want it back. I've been looking for it." You had to be there. Pretty funny. This is a Peisty gong that belonged to my late great father-in-law, Vic Firth. This was in his home studio and something that he had used at one point. And gave it to me. I gladly took it. That's a symbol signed by the great Mitch Mitchell. I think it says, "Hiya, John. Many thanks, Mitch Mitchell." God bless Mitch. This was signed by Billy Bob Thornton, Oscar-winning actor, director. Billy Bob is a drummer, visited Zildjian some years ago, and I took him for a tour, and he's kind enough to sign a symbol for me. I thank the world to him. I've been to his house, been to his studio. He's a great guy. Of course, the great Ginger Baker. What else would Ginger say other than cool? So that's pretty cool. And this last symbol is signed by some guy named Steve Gadd, who apparently thinks I'm the worst. And yeah. Another great example of Steve's sense of humor. So, all right, and then on to some of this other memorabilia. I'm going to try to move quick here. There's a multi-platinum record from Def Leppard for Adrenalize. I don't remember the year. It might be on the plaque. I can't really tell. But, yeah. This was back in the days when bands would send these to us. You know, I mean, like a band would sell 5 million, 10 million, 20 million copies, and we'd get these really cool multi-platinum awards, you know. It was always fun, and it typically happened around the holidays. I mean, it happened year-round, but I remember a lot of times at the end of the year getting like two or three in a week. They'd just show up. I think that's when they would send them out as gifts to companies like us, the people that supported the, you know, the artists. These are some hats that I bought from Nelson's Drum Shop. I happen to see Ringo, Levon, Keltner, Gadd. All right, back down here, Extreme, my buddy Paul Geary, prior to Mike Mangini being in the band. Paul's my dear friend, sent me some Extreme records, Three Sides to Every Story, and I think that's Porno Graffiti, I think, yeah. I have another one somewhere. Megadeth, Hootie and the Blowfish. Of course, there's a great photo from Rob Shanahan. Got to give credit to the photographer on that. Charlie, Ringo, and Jim Keltner, 2006 at Ringo's house. You've all seen this picture. This is a promo shot of Charlie that Vic Firth had at their NAMM booth, and somehow I ended up with it, so. Pretty cool. All right. Continuing on, Marshall Tucker Band, a gift from the great Paul Riddle, drummer from original drummer for the Marshall Tucker Band, as Butch Truck used to call him, Paradiddle Riddle. Really, really nice guy, Paul. Godsmack, local band. The Goo Goo Dolls, Mike Malinan might be watching this right now. He sent me this. Love the Goo Goo Dolls. I love when Mike was in the band, so put it that way. This was an award I got in 1982 when working at EU Wurlitzer. It was the 1 year they did this award, so I kept it. All right, Chicago, of course, Danny Serafin, and later Trissom Bowden. All right, Hoobastank. Remember that band? Natalie Merchant. Of course, we all know Natalie from her band from the 80s that I can't even remember the name of right now. I totally drew a blank. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. I got to keep going here. 311. Aerosmith. My buddy Joey Kramer was always great at sending these records. Pump. Nine Lives. Get a Grip. Yeah. There's another 311. My buddy John Tempesta, Rob Zombie, Faith No More, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Nick Menza, that's right, Pete, yeah, great, Nick sent me that Megadeth record. Back up here, Tesla, and that record, I want to say, was the very first gold record I ever got. If you look closely, I can't really get in there. It says Drum Workshop on it. And I was working at DW when I got this from Troy Lachetta in 1986, I believe. 86 or 87. But that was my very first gold record. During my DW days. There's Loverboy, Matty Frenette, my good pal. Gin Blossoms, Philip Rhodes could be watching right now. Original drummer for the Gin Blossoms. Edwin McCain. All right, where are we? Back up here. Another Tesla record. That was later. And I'll go to the end and yet another Tesla record. And another Loverboy record. All right, Soundgarden. Here we go. Yeah. That's some serious stuff right there. Super Unknown. Down on the Upside. Also Soundgarden. Live, my buddy Chad Gracie. Great White. Another Great White. And Guns N' Roses. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Courtesy of Matt Sorum. Okay. All right, so that covers all that memorabilia. And there's some posters I have here. This is a poster Joey Kramer signed back in, gosh, I think this was 1992. Yeah. Look at that. Wow. 30 some odd years ago. Keith Carlock, Steely Dan, 2012. This is a funny one signed by Vinny. I don't know if you can read what he says, but he says, "Johnny, don't throw any darts at me." All right. Peter Erskine, of course. The great Peter Erskine. Ringo Starr. I had Ringo sign this in 1995. The first time I met him, I brought this splash symbol and he signed it for me. And you can see 95 up there. And I had it mounted into this shadow box with the picture of him behind the drums. And it's a great piece of memorabilia. And last but not least, the man himself, Charlie Watts. This was a Vic Firth poster in the 90s. And my wife had Charlie sign it. It's actually before I'd met Charlie, but she had him sign it. And I had it made into this frame poster. All right. So, we could talk about these drums a little bit. Or we could just continue on with some of the memorabilia. I think we'll do that. I'm going to just give you a quick view of these drums. My White Marine Pearl Gretsch, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a bit. And, of course, my Chrome Overwood Gretsch. In all their glory. I don't usually set the kit up like that, but I thought today I would. And this is my newest kit, my newest used kit, my Eames drum set. We'll talk more about that, too. And we'll talk more about the snare drums, too, but I'll just give you a little shot of those. Some Ludwigs up top there, an Acrolite, a 70s Superphonic, a Jazz Fest. There's a Rogers Chrome Over Brass Power Tone. Here I am saying we'll talk about them later, but I'm talking about them now. My Gretsch gold-plated and very tarnished, beautiful snare drum. That is my 24-karat gold Gretsch. A Slingerland Artist model, I believe it's called. It's a one-piece maple shell, similar to a Radio King idea. It's early 60s. My Camco snare, it doesn't quite match my Camco kit, but it's the same era. Camco snare, wood snare. And that's a newer Gretsch snare I bought from a friend. Sounds pretty good. This is a German snare. I'll tell you the name of it in a minute. Other people are going to know when they see it. Come back to that. A Premier, gifted to me by my friend Rob Davenport. There's a Sonar, brass shell snare. I think it's an anniversary model. This did belong to Vic Firth. It's the Signature Series. I think it's the Horst Link anniversary model. Yeah. And here's a WFL snare drum, orchestral type snare drum. All right. It's me again. All right. Oh, before I forget, let me show you these Rototoms. These belong to Vic as well. These are, original style Rototoms with the chrome shells. This is a very unique timpani Rototom. Remo only made a few of these, and this one might have even been a prototype. It did belong to Vic, and it's in great working condition. How about that? That's my timpani playing right there. All right, hang with me for a minute. Take a walk in here. Take a look at some photos. That's Steve Gorman. It's maybe about, maybe 10 years ago or less. Black Crowes, of course. I think you recognize that guy, Carter Beauford, Dave Matthews Band. I don't remember the year on some of these, but that's a really old photo. That's all the drummers from the Allman Brothers, J-Mo, Mark Quinones on percussion, and Butch Trucks. That's from the early to mid-90s. Wow. Yeah. I miss Butch, but that's a really special photo right there. That's from a few years ago, Steve Gadden, myself, he played in Boston with his band, and I went to see him, and I think this was in his hotel room, having some laughs. This is from a few years ago at NAMM. Steve, myself, and Rick Murata. You can imagine the laughs we had that day. It was Rick and I at a friend's house in L.A., Ginger Baker, this was taken in London at one of our artist sessions in London. And of course, the great Elvin Jones signed that photo for me. You might have seen this one before. It's me and Charlie at a Stone show. I think this was the one in Foxborough they did a few years ago, the private show. This is a great photo, man. This is from the mid-90s, just before we lost Tony Williams. That's Tony Williams, Vinny Colaiuta, and myself at the NAMM show. All right, I'm going to have to move around here. Look at that top photo. Dennis Chambers, Steve Smith, Vinny Colaiuta, myself, and Lenny DiMuzio just outside, over my shoulder. That's me and Ringo, that first time I met him in 95. I presented him a set of those cymbals that we were talking about earlier that we had just found in the vault, 1940s A. Zildjian's. So that's the 16-inch crash he's holding. This was taken at Hal Blaine's 90th birthday. There's Jim Keltner, myself, and Charlie Watts behind the Baked Potato in L.A. Speaking of Hal, there's the man himself, Hal Blaine. Hal sent me many photos. This was one of my favorites, so I had it framed. As Peter Erskine, myself, and Greg Bissonette at the London Drum Show some years ago. Fun times. As Charlie's visit to the Zildjian factory, he's checking out flat rides. My pal Danny Serafin. Of course, the original Chicago drummer. And there's Charlie and I again from his visit at the Zildjian factory. That's a 16-inch A. Zildjian crash from the 1960s that I had my hands on and I was holding for him. And I gave it to him that day, and he was very, very happy. He loved it. Took it with him. Carried it out the door with him. Funniest thing. And another Ringo photo, of course. Can never be enough. And that's me and the great Tony Bennett and my dad on the right. Took my dad to see Tony Bennett a few times, and Tony was always great, thanks to Clayton Cameron. But Tony was a very gracious man. All right, how's everybody doing so far? You guys hanging in there? Let's see. I'm going to see if there's any questions I can answer. Any photos with Mike Morris? I do, but I don't have any on my wall, Pete, unfortunately. But I do have some. I do have some. You know, I'll continue with the drums because this could take a while if I sit here and start chatting away like I'm doing. And I can see we've already been on for a while. So, all right, hang with me. We're going to continue on. We're going to look at some drum sets. So I take a drink of water. Isn't this fun? Come on, come with me. Let's take a walk. All right, we're going to start here and work back. Okay. This is an early 1960s Kent drum set. Some of you older guys and gals might remember these drums. They were made in upstate New York. They're American made. And my understanding, I remember when these drums were around, is they were a lower priced alternative to Ludwig, Gretsch, Rogers, Slingerland, all the big American drum companies. So this was, you know, kind of an American lower priced drum for people who didn't want to buy the what was called the MIJ kits, you know, the made in Japan kits of those days. So I got this a couple of years ago, or maybe a little over a year ago, and had to have some work done to it, but it actually sounds really good. Really, really good. It's a great sound. And the snare drum sounds great. A lot of professional drummers own these Kent snares because they're kind of little hidden treasures. They sound great. I think they record really well. And I know Dave Weckl used one for a long time. I know Mike Beard uses one in the studio quite often. And this one sounds great. This bass drum sounds great. I don't think I have a pedal hooked up to it, but it's really boomy. I don't know if you can tell, but I have the Kelly Shoe system inside there with a Shure Beta 52 microphone. So this kit will see the bandstand one day. It's ready to go. And it's a nice sounding little kit. All right, this is a pretty unique, I bought this kit because it's so unique. It's an Ajax kit. It's made in England, and Ajax was Ringo's first set of drums. And I believe Charlie Watts, too. A lot of British drummers started on these drums. They were low-priced, professional quality, but lower-priced kind of entry-level drum sets in England. And they're pretty rare if you can find them. This one's in incredible condition. And I also like the fact that it was more of a jazz sort of size set, which I don't really have any of or many of. This is a 8x12, 14x14, 14x20-inch bass drum, and a matching 5x14 snare. This kit you've probably seen many times. This is my Heyman kit, and it's set up lefty. This is also an English drum set. 14x22, 9x13, 16x16, matching wood snare. That snare drum is a beast. It's one of my favorite sounding snare drums. Great, great snare drum. And of course, these drums were also made in England. They were made from the late 60s to the mid 70s, I believe. I want to say this kit is around early 70s, maybe mid 70s. Nice sounding set of drums. Fun to play. Haven't used them lately, but yeah, nice set of drums. These are more recent. This is one of my little star blue sparkle sets. And this is a replica of my very first drum set. This is a tiny bit different in that my first set had a 12, a 13, and a 16 by 16 floor tom and a 14 by 20 inch bass drum. This one has a 14 by 14 floor tom. But I bought this to replicate the first set of drums my dad bought me, which was through the Sears catalog made by Star, which of course later became Hoshino Tama Drums. So that's that set. And I'll tell you the story about the other Star set I have in the back there. This guy, of course, is I have this pinpointed 1969-1970 Gretsch kit. It's the transition year when they went from the round badge to the stop sign badge. This is a stop sign badge kit. And it's somewhat of a replica of Charlie's wood, you know, his legendary Gretsch kit, although his has an 8x12. This is more of the standard Gretsch size, which is a 9x13, 16x16, 14x22-inch bass drum. And I have a matching DW snare to go with it just to sort of make it like Charlie's. And I gig with this kit a lot. It's a great sounding set of drums. Really great sound instead of drums. Sometimes I won't know what I'm going to do, and then I'll just play this drum set and go, yeah, I'm going to use this kit this weekend. So it just has that effect on me. Of course, the Camco set. I got this earlier this year, February, I want to say, of 2023. It's a 1971 Chanute, Kansas kit. Right after they had moved from Oaklawn, Illinois. It's a 9x13, 16x16, 14x22-inch bass drum. Beautiful sounding set of drums. I mean, these drums are just amazing. They're everything you've ever heard. If you've heard great things about Camco, it's not an exaggeration. I'd heard other people play them, but I'd never owned a set before. And I have many friends who own these drums. And everything that everybody ever has said about them is absolutely true. They are really special sounding drums. And I will just say this with all due respect to Drum Workshop, who are my dear friends, where I used to work, these drums sound very different. The only thing they have in common is the lug. You know, DW bought the tooling and all the hardware designs that were Camco, and Tama got the name Camco. But these drums sound very different from modern DW drums. They sound to me more like my Rogers set, and even to some degree my Gretsch set. They just have a much more, for lack of a better word, aggressive sound, big, full sound. All right. This set of drums is someone had asked me, I forget, it might have been Tim Rowan, who asked my first set of my collection. It would be this one. No, I'm wrong, actually. This would be my second kit. But this is a replica of my first Gretsch set that my dad bought me in 1974, coming up on 50 years ago. Midnight Blue Pearl. This kit was originally a different color, and my friends at Gretsch were kind enough to recover it in Midnight Blue Pearl to match my first kit. But you can see it has all the period correct hardware, and it has the metal hoops, which they did back then. That's not a modification. That's how they came standard in those during that time in the 70s. And I loved it. You can see I've got a lot of these monster hi-hats on these kits. I'm kind of a freak about those. Talk about that in a minute. This is my early to mid 70s Gretsch Black Nitron. One of my absolute favorite kits to play. It sounds amazing. It really does. This is a 9x13, 16x16, 14x22. I should have mentioned also that on these other kits, which I'll get to on the black set in a minute, these are all equipped with the Kelly Shoe System and a Shure Beta 52 microphone. And you can see that black cable sneaking through the air vent. That allows me to mount it inside without having to vent the front head. So the microphone is in there, suspended on the Kelly shoe, and it sounds amazing. Same with this kit. most of my kits. All the kits that I gig with have that. And the black kit is no different, you can see. And what I do is I just plug the mic in right there, out to the mixer, and there's my bass drum for me. This snare drum did not come with this kit. I bought this last year. It's a 70s 10-lug Gretsch wood snare, which is very unique. You don't see many 10-lug Gretsch wood snares. And this one needed some work. It was, the snare bed was really weird. I had a friend of mine redo it for me, and it sounds great now. And yeah, so I told you the sizes, 13, 16, 22 standard sizes. This is a 1962 Gretsch name band kit, same as the black in terms of the sizes. This has the matching snare. So this, of course, is a round badge kit and black diamond pearl, 9x13, 16, 16, 14x22, matching 5x14 snare. Amazing kit in amazing condition. I bought this kit, I want to say, about 4 years ago. And this is its original wrap and condition. It's just in absolute mint condition. Also with the Kelly shoe and the Shure microphone Beta 52 inside. So, sounds great. This is the first kit to my collection. This is a Gretsch kit that I bought in the 80s. It's a 14x20-inch bass drum, 9x13, 16x16 matching wood snare, and the Satin Aqua Flame. And this is a great-sounding little drum set. I gigged with this for a long time. I prefer a bigger bass drum, so I started trying to get other drum sets, and the Midnight Blue Pearl kit became my sort of go-to kit when I first joined my band Grand Theft Audio in 2014, and that began my collection. I just started collecting like crazy. Most of these drum sets, well, basically all of them after that came after that time. This kit I bought in 2015 and maybe a couple others. And then, you know, some more recently. This is another star kit that I bought locally from someone. And it just popped up and it was in such great condition and the price was right, so I grabbed it. And then the other kit sort of landed on my lap. Then this kit sort of showed up that's actually closer to my original kit. But anyway, this kit will end up with one of my grandkids. My grandson, Dylan, loves this little drum set whenever he sees it. So it'll be perfect for him. This guy, Peacock Flame, beautiful drum set. This is early 70s. I want to say 70 or 71. 8x12, 9x13, 16x16, 14x22, and it has a Slingerland tom mount, you can see. Of course, in those days, most people ordered Gretsch drums without Gretsch hardware because it was notoriously unreliable. So this kit has a Slingerland tom holder. I play this kit occasionally, and I play it as a four-piece. I leave the 12 at home and use the 9x13. That's my jam. This snare drum is a woodshell 8-lug Gretsch snare. It's gold chrome over wood. And this snare was the original snare with this kit, because this kit was covered in gold chrome before it was recovered by Gretsch and Midnight Blue Pearl. And I should add that my friend Paul Cooper at Gretsch was kind enough to send me this modern Gretsch snare drum to go with it, to match it. So this was not the original snare with this kit. This was. I know, it's confusing. It's hard to keep up. Stay with me. All right. This guy, this is my 1969 Ludwig Keystone badge, you can see, and the bowling ball finish, blue pearl. And it's a 9x13, 16x16, 14x22. And that's a mid-60s, I want to say a 65 Superphonic snare that I bought from my friend Jeff McAllister. So that's not the snare that was with this kit, but I bought this as these three drums. And another great sounding drum set has the Kelly Shoe inside and a Shure microphone, Beta 52, B52. And yeah, these guys were my go-to kit for quite a long time. And, you know, Ludwig has its own thing, as everybody knows, and I was really digging that, and I still do. And then I kind of, you know, went back to my Gretsch thing. I sort of bounced around. And then in 2019, I discovered these drums, which I had overlooked completely as a youngster. And I bought this set from a local friend named Tom Evans, who might be watching right now. And this is a mid-60s Rogers Holiday kit. And 9x13, 14x22, of course, 16x16. The snare drum, it's Black Diamond Pearl. Snare drum I bought separately right around the same time, and that's a Power Tone Rogers snare drum that's just absolutely beautiful sounding. These drums are incredible. And again, this drum set has the Kelly Shoe system. I don't know if you can see, but it's the vents underneath there. But anyway, yeah. I played these drums for many, many months consecutively. Okay, Anthony, thank you. Rogers Headliner outfit. I never knew the actual outfit name. There it is. Headliner. And yeah, I've got a matching throne, and I've got the old Swivomatic hi-hat stand to go with it. So pretty excited about these drums. Going to get out and play them again soon. All right. You guys with me so far? Still hanging in there? All right. I can feel like I'm losing my voice. So if you need me to speak up, just say so. All right. So I'm going to wrap up the drum sets with the last three here in my drum room. This is the room that we're back to the room with all the memorabilia. This is the room that I practice in. And I'm going to get to that right now and show you this 1975 Gretsch White Marine Pearl kit that I bought from a local friend during the pandemic, if I remember correctly. They just popped up one day, and they are just absolutely beautiful. And I will tell you guys, if you don't know this already, I'm a sucker for the 70s era Gretsch drums. You know, everybody goes crazy for Round Badge Gretsch, and I certainly do love and appreciate them. I own two of them, Round Badge kits, but you can see most of my Gretsch drum sets are 70s era Stop Sign Badge. And it's no coincidence, because my first drum set was a 74, a Stop Sign Badge kit. So there's that. But I just think they sound incredible. They sound every bit as good as older Gretsch drums, you know, older being the Round Badge drums. And I just think they look incredible. You know, I think even the metal hoop, that era of the 70s where they used the metal hoops on the bass drums, I just think it looks classic. I do, absolutely. And that to me is some of the nicest white marine pearl I've ever seen. So with this kit, the man who sold me the snare drum might be watching right now. A new friend named Scott Dowell, who used to live right next door in Hull, Mass, but moved away, but was selling this Gretsch 60s Round Badge chrome over brass snare drum. And we met up one day and I bought it, and it's a great sounding drum. I set it up with a couple of new heads, although it has a pretty cool DeCenzo's drum shop drum head on it, which I'll never change that. That's pretty amazing. So, and that was definitely one of the selling points for me, was having that DeCenzo's drum shop drum head on there, the great Dick DeCenzo. And so there's this kit. And then I move over to this, and I know my friend Dan Peterson's watching. And this kit is just still, to me, stunning. This is a 1970 Gretsch chrome wrap over wood drum set. They made this finish, from what I understand. They offered this for 1 year only, 1970. And it's kind of the brother finish to that gold wrap that I mentioned earlier. But this to me is way hipper. Now, this kit came when I bought it from Dan. It came with a snare drum. I don't have the snare with it right now. It's being adjusted by my friend. The throw is a little funky on it. So I've got one of my several. This is an actual chrome of a brass Gretsch snare drum. But the one that came with it, the snare that came with this kit, was a wood shell. But by looking at it, you'd never know that. You'd think it was a brass shell. But this is a brass shell. I know I'm confusing everybody. Anyway, this is a Gretsch 4165, I think it's called. 10 lug, 5x14, chrome over brass snare drum. One of my favorite snares. This kit, 1970, came with a 9x13, a 10x14, 14x22-inch bass drum, and a 16x18 floor tom. The 16x18 basically was one of the things that made me hesitate on buying this drum set. I absolutely loved it. I was in love with it the minute I saw the photos of it. I knew that I would play it as a four piece. I didn't intend to play it as with the two mounted toms. I knew I would not use the 10x14, and I was fine with that. But the fact that it had a 16x18, having owned one of these before, they're kind of a beast. Having it be my only floor tom, I knew I would not enjoy playing that. So sure enough, I bought the drum set, and try as I may, I just could not get the 18 to work for me the way I want it to sound and the way I tune the drums. So I contacted my friend Paul Cooper at Gretsch, and he was nice enough to make me a 16x16 in this beautiful matching chrome over wood finish. And so now I play this kit out with my band Grand Theft Audio as a 9x13, 16x16, 14x22. Big surprise, right? My usual sizes. And but for the purposes of this show today, I thought I would set it up in all its glory. And again, just take a look at this kit. It's just beautiful. Man. All right. And last but not least, this is my newest acquisition. This is an Eames drum set. I don't know the year of this set, but I just got this drum set late summer. I think I just got it this year. And I have a history with Eames, and that Joe McSweeney, the former owner, is a very good friend of mine going back to 1979. And it's kind of a funny thing that all the years that I that I would go visit Joe at the shop up at Eames, and in all the years of us being friends, I had never owned a set. Although in the last few years, as I've started collecting more drum sets, I started looking for Eames sets from time to time. And everyone that I seemed to come across was more jazz oriented, not the sizes that I'd want, like a 20-inch bass drum or even an 18 and a 14 and a 12. And, you know, very sought after sizes, certainly if you play jazz. But for what I do, I wanted more standard-sized, rock-sized drums, bigger drums, 22-inch bass drum, 16x16, 9x13, that sort of thing. So I came across these drums. A friend was selling them as part of an estate sale. These belonged to Jim Gwynn, who was the drummer for the Boston Pops. And Jim sadly left us a couple of years ago, and so all of his equipment was being sold by a friend of mine, and I happened to be at his house. He does a lot of work for me. He's the guy that's working on some of my snare drums right now. And anyway, there was this kit, and it was really meant to be because I had just sold my Red Premier set literally that day or the day before. And I was able to get these drums for just a little bit out of my pocket beyond what I sold the Premier set for. Anyway, that's a long story long. The bottom line is these drums sound amazing. They're birch shells. I want to say it's the only drum set. No, I think it could be lying. The Heyman set might be birch. No, they might be mahogany. Anyway, these are birch shells, 9-ply, I believe. They don't sound that dissimilar to Gretsch and even my Camco drums. I mean, they have that same full, I can only sort of describe it as aggressive tone. They sound amazing. I've yet to use them live on a gig. I came very close the last couple of months, but I kind of just kept falling back to my safety net, you know, my comfort zone of Gretsch or Camco even. But these drums are ready. I've got, of course, needless to say, the Shure Beta 52 is inside the bass drum with the Kelly Shoe system. Also, I should say, when I bought this drum set, he had a Ludwig Black Beauty snare drum for sale. I'd never owned a Black Beauty and had always wanted one. And I was able to get this one at a very reasonable price. What a drum. So this is my sort of combination. I was using the Black Beauty the last couple of months doing gigs with my band Grand Theft Audio. I was using this snare drum with, whether it was a Gretsch set or the Camco set. I couldn't stop playing this snare drum. And I think, assuming I take this kit out next year, it's going to have the Black Beauty with it. So anyway, that's my long story long about the Eames set. They really are special drums. If any of you are familiar, then you know the history. They're made in Saugus, Massachusetts. The new owner, Mark Kohler, is also an old friend. Going back to when I worked retail in a drum shop, he was a customer some, gosh, 40 years ago. And then years later, we connected when he's also teaching at Berkeley. And when I was working at Zildjian and involved with working with the Berkeley people, we got together a few times with him and the president, Roger Brown, the former president of Berkeley. So, you know, Mark and I have been in touch over the years, and then he bought the company from Joe a while back, Joe McSweeney. So he actually sent me this white logo head. It came with a black ebony Remo head with a hole cut in it, and, you know, I can't play a bass drum with a hole in it. Come on. So Mark was nice enough to send me this Eames white logo head. But they really are something. And they have, again, the history of these drums, if you don't know about them, is they only make shells. So you outfit them with whatever hardware you want. So in this case, Jim Gwynn, rest his soul, put Yamaha hardware on these drums. It has Yamaha lugs, a Yamaha tom mount, spurs. And I love the look of it because the lugs remind me of, you know, Gretsch. They're small, understated. It's not a big, massive metal on the drum. I don't use the tom mount. I took the mount off for a while, but it had a big, giant hole, so I put it back on. I'll never be able to get away from playing this, the tom-tom on a snare stand, I think, until I have a mount set up like a Rogers or something right here where I can angle it where I want. But anyway, that's the Eames kit. I'll give you a behind the kit view. This is where I sit down and practice. I listen to music through my Zoom mixer, through my headphones, play along to it. I even sing to it sometimes, if you can believe it. And yeah, I use these old Gretsch floating action pedals, vintage pedals from the 60s. 70s more likely. I mentioned the Gretsch Monster hi-hat stands. I have about 12 or 14 or something at this point. I love them. Someone asked about drum heads, all Remo coated Ambassador on the batter sides of all the drum sets. It's all I use, coated Ambassador, and I use coated P3, which is an Emperor type head on the bass drums. And basically, I think all of these kits have coated P3 on there. Yeah, that one has... Actually, these, I will say that these drums were a little funny trying to get the heads to fit, which is common for a lot of old Gretsch drums. And I think because of the covering, the wrap. So I went with a classic fit bass drum head on this one, and it works fine. And it might be... Oh, it's a Power Stroke. Okay, sorry. So it is a Power Stroke, but it's a classic fit. Yeah. I was gonna say, it sounds great. And this is a good old Power Stroke. So yeah, coated Ambassadors on everything. This one came with it's an Ambassador with a dot underneath. My buddy Shane, Drum Center, Portsmouth. And I've never found a better drum head than a coated Ambassador. I've tried other things, clear, black dot. But, yeah. Yeah, Tim, the key. They all have the key. Gotta have the key. You can see that. I had my Camco set up here for a while, so I had the Camco pedal with it. But you saw it, the Camco set is now in the other room. But that's an original Camco strap drive pedal. Another Gretsch Monster. A few more. Oh, these are older. That's a Gretsch Monster. A few more down here. So, yeah, and I'll just lastly take you over here. I got some vintage A. Zildjian hi-hat cymbals. These guys are 15s that I was using for a while. Some vintage New Beats. I'm trying some other hi-hats out at the moment. And these are kind of like my practice cymbals. This crash I actually take with me on gigs. It's a 16A thin crash from 2013. It's got no logo. It has no coating on it, so it's looks older than 10 years. It looks, you know, it's nicely patinaed in the 10 years that I've had it. Great cymbal. Some more cymbals in here. I got some old A's, a couple of old K's. And, yeah. Bob, I see you're watching. Does that snare drum look familiar? It's the Rogers Power Tone you sold me. All right. Yeah, an assortment of cymbals here. We already talked about the snare drums. Dan, you don't miss a trick, do you? No, sir. Yeah, these are the original Giant Beats right here. I have two sets of the originals, which you know you're well aware of, Dan Garza. There's one set. There's the other set. Yeah. Kind of hard to believe I have these. It really is. I am loving it, Bob. Thank you again, buddy. That's a newer Giant Beat. But, yeah. I've got a whole bunch of old A's I've just sort of accumulated over the years. Tend to lean on the same cymbals over and over, though. I try stuff and then I come back. I've got some other stuff made in another country, made in Switzerland, and they definitely have a good sound for certain things, but I tend to sort of come back to what I'm comfortable with, which is usually B20 type cymbals. But again, I do love the sound of some Peisty crashes, and you know, nothing wrong with that. So I'm trying to think if I've missed anything. I don't think so. I'm going to jump back over here. Probably wrap up in a minute, but just see if there's any questions. Take this opportunity to drink a little sip of my water. Wow. All right. Okay, Richie Burns is asking, what cases do you carry them around in? If you're referring to cymbals or just drums in general, I use Beto bags. Fred Beto makes great stuff. Highly recommend it. And you can see I have, well, I don't know if I showed you that, but I have my, there's my Beto cymbal bag right there, and that is my gigging bag. That's the bag that I use to take my cymbals to gigs. Heavy duty, not too heavy on its own, so that it ends up weighing 100 pounds when you put it over your shoulder or carry it, but it's very durable, stronger than your typical, I hate to say it, but you know, I mean, these Zildjian bags were made to be inexpensive for people to buy them. And therefore, they're not the most heavy duty. And I say that as delicately as I can. You know, that's not a cymbal bag that's going to last a long time if you're putting a lot of cymbals in it and you're carrying it a lot. The handle's going to probably break, or the zipper's going to go, or something's going to happen. But these are super duper well made, and they're waterproof, weatherproof. And where I live, That's important because sometimes I'm taking my cymbals out at the end of the night and snow, you know, or my drums. So totally recommend Beto, Fred Beto. He could be watching right now. He's a good man. Okay, let's see. What else? I really appreciate you guys tuning in today, and I hope you'll come back on Wednesday when I have Adam Deitch on the show. And Friday, for my friend Steve Gadd, who really, really needs, he thrives on all the attention he gets when he's on my show. He loves it. So I do hope you'll come back for that too. Let's see. Let's see if I'm missing anything here. Okay. What sticks do I use? I use, hang on, I'll show you. How did I not mention that? Everything else I covered and I didn't mention my sticks. Vic Firth, American Classic 5A. But wait, there's more. Double glaze. I don't know if you're hip to these, and you either love these or you hate them. And for a long time, I did not like sticks like this. These have like extra lacquer on them for a more tacky finish. If you remember what the old Collado sticks were like, they always had that heavy sort of varnishy feel. And then a lot of stick companies for years got into making them very natural and almost like a sanded feel. But I find when I use those other sticks now, they're too slippery in my hands. I need something with more of a tackiness to them. My hands sweat when I play. Anybody who's ever seen me play will see that quite often between songs, I'm taking my towel and I'm drying my hands with my towel, or I'm wiping down my sticks, because there's nothing worse than the sticks flying out of your hands. And we've all had that happen a time or two. But yeah, so I love these. I mean, the 5A is the 5A. It's, to me, it's the greatest stick ever made. It's got the most perfect bead. The balance is perfect. The shaft diameter is perfect for me. I played a 5B years ago. But for how I play now, I never break a stick. I just wear them out, and the 5A is perfect. Love it. Absolutely love it. So anyway, yeah. Mostly match grip, occasionally traditional grip, but yeah, started off playing traditional grip, but switched to matched. And for me, it's been really hard to go back. I tried to go back to playing all traditional grip, but I can't. It's my muscles and everything have gotten too comfortable playing this way. And I'm not comfortable playing this way all the time. When I'm playing something delicate that involves maybe a double stroke roll or press roll or something, the traditional grip feels more comfortable, you know, playing rudiments. But playing like straight backbeat stuff, I'm more comfortable playing, you know, match grip. So, yeah. My first Zildjian cymbal was a 15-inch band cymbal that I used as a crash that I bought from a friend when I was about 12 years old. And I used that for years. And it was this heavy, you'd hit it, and it sounded like a hi-hat bottom, like a 15-inch hi-hat bottom. And you'd hit it, and it just went gung, but it said Zildjian on it, and I loved it. I paid $10 for it, which was a week's pay on the paper route that I had. And I treasured it. It was my only Zildjian cymbal. Everything else in the kit was like the cheapo brass that you bought in those days. And little by little, I added Zildjians, and then eventually was able to replace that with a proper, like 16-inch medium thin or thin crash. So anyway, that was my first Zildjian, but I loved it. It's excited. Anthony, you're asking about the Rogers floor tom. It's a 16 by 16. It's a 9 by 13, 16, 16, 14 by 22. So, yeah. Tim, yeah, you forgot the raffle for the kid of our choice. Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, I'm just looking to see if any other questions before I wrap it up and say thanks for watching, everybody. This has been a lot of fun. This is cool. So I'm recording from my phone, but I'm looking at my computer. which makes it a whole lot easier. What is the next drum set you want to get? I don't want another drum set, Dan. I really don't. I don't. Please don't make me get another drum set. I thought of something recently, and then I thought how crazy it sounded, and I can't even remember what it was. But, you know, I have this Eames kit now that was one that I'd been really wanting to get. I didn't want to shell out and go through the effort of having a brand new one built, because there's a lot that goes into that. You've got to source all the hardware. You've got to get the hoops and the think about that. And when I worked retail, I used to do this all the time. People would come in and order, you know, the lugs for a 13 and the hoops and the tension rods and the all the hardware that goes with it. So the thought of that was not something that I wanted to do. I wanted to find an Eames kit that would suit my needs size-wise. And the color was almost even secondary in my mind. I thought, like, you know, it's going to be a good-looking color. It might not be exactly what I want, but it'll be some sort of wood stain. So this kit really, like, checked all the boxes. It's all the sizes, and it's like a, you know, it's an ebony black finish. I mean, it's a beautiful finish. The hardware's exactly what I would have wanted, like a, you know, as I said, a low-mass Yamaha lugs, hoops, spurs, you know, well-made stuff. So it really checks all the boxes. I feel like I don't need any more drums. And I really, honestly, all kidding aside, I'm kind of done with it. I have another drum set that's not here today. That's up at my rehearsal spot with my band. And that is a Dorado by Gretsch drum set that, again, through my friend Dan Peterson, I was able to get. And thank you again, Dan, if you're still watching. That kit was 1 year only, 1973. Gretsch imported these drums. And again, I don't have them in front of me to show you, but it's a very rare collectible drum set. And that's up at my rehearsal. I do have one drum I can show you. Hang on. So this is the 8x12 that goes with that kit. It's an 8x12, 9x13, 16x16, 14x22, surprise, surprise. And I played as a four-piece. So at my rehearsal is the 9x13, 16x16, 14x22. And this is the 8x12. And I had it refinished in this, I forget the name of it. If Dan's watching, he'll remember the name of it. It's a beautiful champagne sparkle type, you know, gold sparkle. And another kit that I could see my grandkids ending up with, because they loved it when they saw it. So, Joey Goodsell, good to see you, brother. Happy New Year to you. And I'll be talking to you soon. And I want to thank you all for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Thanks for watching, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy, healthy, safe 2024. Be good to everybody. Peace and love, and I'll see you soon. Thanks.